Good morning, guys. Actually, happy afternoon, guys.
Happy Sunday.
Sunday fun day.
Surprise.
Thank you guys for being so patient and tuning in today to Those Murder Girls podcast. This is Raina.
And this is Marie.
And we are your Murder Girls. Today, we are telling you about the mysterious case of 33-year-old Michael Shaver of Claremont, Florida. But before then, we just want to make a simple note. Marie and I and our families have been so sick.
Deathly ill.
Whether you believe in the coronavirus or not, or all of the sickness is going around.
It's in the air and everybody's getting it.
Do what you have to do to stay healthy because obviously we have not been our best.
And it ran rampant through both of our homes and we were both down.
Yeah.
So thank you for bearing with us.
Take your vitamins, drink your emergency. Drink, what is it, 80 ounces, whatever you have to do.
We've both recovered and we're both feeling way better, so
here we are.
Here we are.
So yeah, we hope you guys are just all happy and healthy and your families are all good.
Stay safe out there, people.
Yes, we need to get back to our regular Friday routine and recording. All right, but here we are, we're back, and let's get on with the story of Michael Shaver. So this case has all of the drama of a Lifetime movie.
They should honestly make it into a movie.
They totally could.
100%. Yes. I would watch it.
So thank you to our listener, Heather, from Destin, Florida, for sending this case over as a suggestion. Neither one of us have heard of it.
No.
So maybe we're not spending enough time on the Google.
I don't know. That's why we have you guys to send over our suggestions.
I know. So many new cases. We're so excited for what's to come. And I think it's only appropriate that we give our new editor a shout out.
Shout out.
Zulma, thank you so much for helping us out. You guys have no idea how long it takes to get one of these episodes done. Research, recording, coming together, editing, all of that. So
she is amazing.
She
is. Thank you.
And she is just the biggest sweetheart. So hopefully one day we can introduce her to you guys.
Bring her on.
Yeah.
Let her do her own introduction.
Totally. Yeah. She's amazing. And I know that she would totally love it. Again, let's get on with Michael Shaver. A lot of distractions today, I think, because we're just coming together.
Exactly.
It's been a hot morning,
and we've been apart from each other for so long.
So long, and apart from you guys.
We took a whole hour talking in the kitchen before we even started, so.
Yes.
All right, guys. So here we go. A devoted husband and father decides to just up and leave his family one day to start a new life. I mean, leaving behind all of his personal belongings, his clothes, car, wallet, phone.
I mean, I'd pack all of those things.
Right.
But maybe he's just a light packer.
I don't know. But according to Lori Shaver, that's exactly what her husband, Michael, decided to do in November 2015.
Hmm.
So when no one had seen Michael for quite some time after, you know, he abruptly quit his dream job via text message, mind you, to his boss.
That's weird.
Those close to him found the circumstances very odd, as do Raina and I.
Yes.
But Michael was still frequent on his social media. He was updating his Facebook page with posts and photos. He would respond to his friends and family's text messages. So, like, could it be that Michael really just did abandon his wife and children and moved away to start this new life? I don't know. But those close to Michael described him as a family man and his kids were his life. Now, his relationship with his wife, Lori, was very tumultuous, and that's to say the least. But still, it just wasn't characteristic of Michael in their minds. This wouldn't be something he would do. Sadly, nobody would actually put the pieces of Michael's disappearance up and leaving together for years. And what the family of Michael Shaver would uncover is very disturbing, you guys.
So Michael was known as a class act guy. He was dedicated, hardworking, always there for his family, married to his wife, Lori. Together, they had two children. Michael had a passion for fixing airplanes, and he was described by his sister as just being the most wonderful human being. The Shaver family lived in a small town of Claremont, Florida, where he worked as a mechanic for Disney. Michael and Lori had many ups and downs in their relationships, I mean, as do all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time, they had even separated and they dated other people. In September of 2015, while Lori and Michael, you know, were dating others, who will remain unnamed, Lori had went to the extent of sending flowers to the wife of the man she was seeing. Oh, along with those flowers, you know, it always comes with like a little card. Well, this card didn't really have like the most pleasant greeting on it. It had this little poem, I guess you could say, that read, "Roses are red, violets are blue, my wife's a whore and your husband is too." And then it went on to say, "Check your Facebook messages. We need to talk." Signed, Mike Shaver.
Oh my gosh. She is crazy.
That's some like, psycho shit.
Not only is she implicating herself in this whole affair situation, but she's setting herself up to be her husband.
Like, right?
That's mental.
No, I cannot do that. Mm-mm. I cannot.
No. We've seen some really weird shit in our lives, but that's weird.
So records would show that these flowers were actually paid for by Lori from her bank account. Lori's end game in this whole scheme was to pose as her own husband, Michael, to inform this poor woman that her husband was actually having an affair. But it was like, Lori, he's having an affair with you. Like,
she's
oh my
a
God.
Little, I would say she's just a little off her rocker.
She's
just a tad.
A little unstable. So according to an affidavit that was filed in Florida, Michael had been arrested in 2014 for simple domestic battery against Lori. The charges were eventually dropped, and clearly these two like moved on together, but continue to have like their major issues. According to People News, Michael's coworker, Michelle Rippey, stated that Lori was an evil woman. She said that Lori was always so jealous and that she had actually attacked Michael more than once. So I guess Michael had went to his coworker to like let her know, or maybe just like confided they were friends. I don't know. So,
or maybe in case something happened to Michael, they would start to look at Lori.
Right? If anything happens to me, it's my wife.
It's my wife.
So all in all, obviously, these two had crazy marital issues and their relationship was not the healthiest. Nonetheless, the two remained living under the same roof with their children off of Sandy Pines Lane.
So on November 7th, 2015, Michael, his wife Lori, and their children, and Michael's coworker Frank Merritt, along with his family, they had all attended the Florida Flywheelers Tractor Show, and it was in Fort Meade, Florida. So on that day, a neighbor of the Shavers had actually witnessed Michael. You know, he was outside doing some yard work. All seemed very normal. Just another day in the life of Michael Shaver. Sadly, it was far from that. So Frank Merritt recalled that Michael and Lori had left this tractor show early on November 7th due to an intense fight that they had gotten into.
So like right after they got there, they left.
Right. They got in this huge fight and they're like, we're leaving early. Jeez. We gotta go. So Frank couldn't recall, obviously, what the fight was about, but he said it was serious enough for Michael and Lori to be like, hey, we're going home. Frank and his family stayed behind. They left. It didn't seem concerning to Frank at that time of the fight because it was kind of just another fight between Michael and Lori. This
was like a normal occurrence. Like,
this is unusual for them. But looking back, this would actually be the start of some very strange events in Michael Shaver's life. Now, on November 8th, the following day, Michael went to work. He had his usual shift and nothing seemed out of the ordinary. According to his coworkers, they said he was normal. After his shift, he and then some of the coworkers kind of just hung around the parking lot, like chatting it up, saying goodbye, whatever the case may be. Michael said, hey, I'm going to go home. I'll see you guys on Tuesday. That was his next scheduled shift. So when Michael left work that evening, that was actually the last time that he would be seen alive. Now, Frank Merritt, being obviously a very close friend of Michael, had texted him early on November 8th to just check in on him. He wanted to make sure Michael was okay after that huge blowout. You know, he's just being a friend. Yeah. Hey, what's going on, Michael? Are you good?
Yeah. So Michael never texts Frank back, and that didn't sit well with Frank. Michael was known to always be reliable. Anytime somebody texts him, he would always text back. He was a punctual kind of guy, you know? He was always there for everyone. So the following day, on the 9th, Frank had texted Michael again, and this time Michael sends a message back, but it was super strange, like nothing that Frank was expecting. Michael had said, or the message from Michael's phone had said, hey, Frank, I quit my job. I quit my job to save my marriage. And
what?
Frank's like, what? Then Michael sends a text to his boss saying that he has to leave his job.
His dream job.
Like everything that he has worked so hard for in order to save his marriage and focus on his family. In the message, Michael tells his boss to fire him or else he's going to quit. So Michael's boss, you know, gets this message on his phone and he opens it up and he's like, wait, what? Like, what the heck?
This does not make sense.
This does not make any sense. This, you know, this has to be like a prank or something. Like, he didn't understand what was going on. So Frank, Michael's boss, they're obviously like, something is going on. We know Michael well enough to know that this is not normal. This is not typical. These text messages that were coming through had like this aggressive tone to them where Michael was not that way. He wasn't stern at all. He was such like a soft-spoken guy. He was always very cordial and nice, and people looked forward to his messages. So the messages that were coming through were just like not him, and no one was falling for it.
Which, I mean, we have all of our different styles of texting.
Oh, totally.
I usually use like a billion explanation points and emojis. So Raina, if I do a text without that, like something's up, call the police.
No, totally.
I don't know. But Raina, she like puts all of her texts in like one box, which is super efficient, where I break
Send it up into a million
and I know it drives her nuts. I'm so sorry. I love you. But everybody is different in their texting style. So even though it's not a phone call, you get the vibe.
You know.
I know exactly your vibe when I get a text message. Totally. You just feel it. Everyone has their own style. So it's like, I don't know. Maybe at that point, if I was the boss or I was Frank, I might have just been like, hey,
like,
maybe
we should drive
check
by.
In. Right. Let me go check in or see if everything's okay. This doesn't seem like
totally.
Him. But nobody did anything.
No.
Which I'm not saying, for a while. Right. It just seems off.
So on Tuesday, November 10th, Michael is a no-show at work. This was his next scheduled work day. Michael's coworkers knew that, like, Michael loved his job. If anything, he was there early. He was never late, and he never missed work. And they were like, well, 2 days ago when we were chatting it up in the parking lot, Michael specifically said, like, hey, see y'all on Tuesday.
Yep, plan to be there.
Where is he? So they start, you know, just kind of wondering, chatting amongst themselves, and Michael's boss comes over and lets them know, like, hey, something's up. I don't know, but I just want to let you guys know that Michael quit his job yesterday. So they were all super puzzled. It didn't sit well with any of them. The news of Michael quitting his job spread, you know, throughout their office, their building, and some of the coworkers decided that they needed to reach out to see what was going on. So they sent Michael a text asking him, hey, why did you quit? Is everything okay? A response comes back and it says, I quit. Don't contact me. You can keep my tools. Like, can you imagine the look on his coworker's face?
No, and obviously they know him best because they're with him working every day. But to just be, hey, you know what? Just keep all my shit.
For
don't
one,
worry about it.
No one's ever going to let anybody keep their tools willingly.
Exactly. So, and second,
red flag.
They're with him every day. They know that this is not... There's no way that Michael would say that.
Exactly. So was he going through some stuff and like really needed his space? Like, could things have been that bad for these responses to truly be Michael and his feelings? They weren't sure, regardless of their better judgment. They just all thought, like, you know, it's super suspicious. It's super weird. But I guess they were like, you know, we're going to give him his space and give him his time. Regardless of these text messages coming through to these people from Michael's phone, no one had physically seen him. And all of those close to him were wondering. So they went to his wife, you know, the one that should know where her husband's at, how he's doing, and, you know, is he okay? Is there anything we can do to help?
Where is he, Lori?
Lori,
where
what did you do
is
with him?
Michael?
So Lori had claimed that Michael had just hopped into their family's SUV and he drove off to Atlanta, Georgia to start a new life.
Wow.
Poof, gone, I'm out, keep my tools, keep everything, apparently.
And my phone and my wallet and my keys
and my clothes. I'm not going to be needing any of this in my new life. So I don't think, obviously, anybody was buying that BS story. So Michael, now gone without a trace, they kind of like, you know, do their best to, you know, look around, see what's going on. There were no signs of anything. It was as if this grown-ass man had actually hopped in his SUV and just taken off. Lori didn't seem like she was frazzled or sad or like worried.
She was fine.
She was totally fine. She was, you know, moving on with her life that quickly with her children as if nothing happened. So as if her husband wasn't missing.
Right. And here's my issue. No one thought to report Michael missing or even just reported Lori's story to law enforcement to like have him check it out. It's obviously blatantly clear to everybody that the circumstances surrounding Michael, quote unquote, leaving were extremely odd and out of character. But like when we were doing our research, it was hard to narrow down an exact reason as to why the family didn't report him
missing.
You know what?
Maybe they didn't because he is, you know, grown man, and they probably didn't want to maybe feel a certain way about themselves. Like what if he actually did pick up and go?
Right.
Maybe they knew
he
that
has
Lori,
the right to do it. He's
maybe they knew Lori was a nightmare.
Right.
I mean, Michelle said that.
I got to get out of here.
Michael was open being freaking off her rocker.
The family stated in her research that they didn't think it was concerning enough to contact law enforcement. I mean, yeah, they thought it was strange, but in one article, the family of Michael said that they actually thought they could find him on their own. I don't know. That just seems really strange to me. Like, I would have picked up the phone and be like, hey, you know what? This is a story that my brother or whatever, his wife is telling us. Can you just drive by the house and look into it? Can you just go talk to Lori?
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
But nobody did anything, and Michael would not be reported for 2.5 years.
That's crazy.
He was reported missing 2.5 years.
Don't ever let 2.5 years go by without looking for me.
Girl, please. You get 6 hours. 6 hours, and I'm on the phone.
Oh, my God. 6 hours. I could be in
1 hour.
Nevada, Northern California,
1 hour.
So deep in Mexico.
30 seconds.
Thank you. 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Okay.
30 seconds flat. Okay, so if you guys are wondering why he didn't get reported missing for 2.5 years, we're going to tell you. During the time that Michael was supposedly starting this new life in Atlanta, family and friends would continue to reach out to him. They would text him, you know, message him on Facebook, and he or whoever behind the account would always respond. So it was nice to hear from him. So they thought like, oh, this is like a strange comforting thing. Maybe he is fine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So at the time, he updated his Facebook status. He would post pictures, but he was not actually in the pictures. It was like pictures of friends, pictures of guns, pictures of things. But Michael physically was not in them. So was Michael really behind this Facebook account? Family of Michael's stated that when they texted Michael, he would respond that he was fine, but to not contact him again.
Mm-mm.
And then they found that his Facebook statuses were a little bit strange because once again, like the text messages to Frank and Michael's boss, it wasn't his style of writing.
All of the suspicion. And nobody
does anything.
Yeah.
So now as time goes by, the family becomes concerned then when his driver's license and his pilot license become expired and they were not renewed. It wasn't stated how the family knew this, but they knew licenses were done. He didn't renew them. And he was also supposed to show up in court in Florida. He had an ongoing civil lawsuit with a credit card company and he was a no-show. These are red flags. This is not
quacking,
Michael's character.
Quacking like a duck, looking like a duck.
It's a fucking duck.
So skipping to the summer of 2016, not even a full year of Michael being out living his new life. Lori, his beautiful bride, meets a new man by the name of Travis. Travis is a student life coordinator at the Real Life Christian Church. He was a man of God, super religious, and well put together, which was kind of the opposite of Lori. Yet after meeting Travis, she suddenly became super interested in church and very religious. Their relationship took off fast. As fast as they locked eyes for the first time, shaking hands and meeting, they were in love.
It was love, baby.
So their relationship is taking off, and that means Lori needs to do some house cleaning. She starts selling off Michael's belongings.
Which we still think is odd he didn't take with him on his
new journey. Michael, your toothbrush, you might need it.
It's just there.
Leaving to start a new life and leaving all your shit behind. Okay, don't worry. I'll take care of it, Lori said from afar. Okay, so how Travis didn't think that this was weird. Like, he would go over to Lori's house and just, like, all of Michael's stuff was there. Like,
anyone would think that's weird.
No, like, seriously, like, everything was there, like, down to his toothbrush. Clothes, guns, like, expensive things that somebody would definitely sell or not take.
Travis before, like, no big deal.
Yeah, before leaving. So, I mean, I think any smart person would be, like, questioning, but not Travis. Also around this time, as she's, like, selling off all of his stuff, Lori is able to fraudulently take out bank loans in Michael's name and drains his bank accounts. You know, her pockets are now full. Her bank account is now looking pretty damn good. And Michael, you have nothing.
Like, Michael didn't need money on Michael his new money. Life that he's starting,
Michael's
going
to need good credit in his new life, Lori. Mm-hmm. You probably shouldn't be taking out those loans.
He might need some of that up in Atlanta.
Yeah, so she's just doing, like, some shady stuff.
So I think this is actually when the pressure started mounting on Lori to try and keep her story straight. And I think she was just so far developed in this story of Michael leaving and trying to handle her new relationship with Travis.
Like, it was just too far gone.
It's too much. She can't keep up with her lies. She can't keep up with everything. And everything started to kind of come down around her and cracks started to happen in her story. Mm-hmm. So her story of Michael then begins to kind of, like, change and shift depending on who she was talking to. So she told some people Michael moved to California. And then she told some people that he was actually in jail for not paying child support. But how, like, would he have any money, Lori, if you took it all?
Yeah.
So that doesn't make any sense. Then she said he actually was in New York. And then he was a pilot and he was flying all over the world. And that's why he wasn't around. It's like, oh, my God, get your story together. Yeah. If you're going to make it up, keep it
consistent.
So Lori, during the time that Michael was not around, she also decided to do some renovations on the couple's backyard area. You know, spruce it up a little bit.
Make it a place that's enjoyable.
Yeah, you know, for her new man and the children. So she actually texted her sister, and this was not long. This was literally, I think the date was 2 weeks after Michael was last seen. She had texted her sister saying, tons of yard work and cleaned up outside. She was proud of herself.
Yeah. So Travis had even helped Lori with this renovation. He is said to have gone and purchased 42 bags of concrete. And this was confirmed by his bank statements.
It's a lot of concrete.
So they, you know, put in this concrete slab. They installed this fire pit. The backyard was looking pretty freaking cute. Lori was so proud of her project that she was uploading photos on social media, which we have and we will be posting to ours. And after the completion, Lori thought it would be the cutest thing to carve her and Travis's name or initials into that concrete slab. So they did that, and then they were like, you know what? We should get married here. So they hosted an intimate backyard ceremony in December of 2017, right by their initials, sealing their love. Isn't that adorable? So Lori maintained all along that she had divorced Michael, and, you know, obviously Travis didn't dig up the records to confirm this, because if he would, he would have known that that was not the case.
And they got married anyway. So Lori and Travis would then go on to have two children to add to the addition of the two that Lori had with Michael. So Raina and I are going to get down to the fall of Lori's house of lies surrounding Michael Shaver.
Finally.
Finally, someone close to Michael named Scott Amatuccio, if I am saying that last name wrong, I apologize. He called authorities requesting a welfare check be done at Michael's previous home. Well, that home is the same one that he shared with Lori off of Sandy Pines Road. Lori never moved houses, so she lives there with her new hubby, Travis. Scott said that he became increasingly concerned that he has not seen his friend since 2015.
Concerning, to say the least.
And we've all been saying that.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. So according to a YouTube video that we watched covering Michael's case, it's called Buried in His Own Backyard, one of Michael's female friends had gone over to the house and spoke with Lori. And she said while she was inside the home, she noticed that Michael's wallet and cell phone were there and thought, well, that's fucking weird. If his phone's here, how is he texting people back? Mm-hmm. There were no details on how or why she was actually at that home, but she was there. And then she called Scott to let him know what she saw inside, you know, the home. And it triggered Scott. He's like, all right. I got to call the cops. Yeah, yeah, enough is enough. So nonetheless, fucking finally, Scott calls the cops and reports Michael missing. Authorities then visit Lori and Travis's house on February 16th, 2018 to, you know, follow up on Scott's call.
Mm-hmm.
2.5 years after Michael has been seen. Lori was home. She opened the door. She let the cops come in. You know, they did a little look around. She was very forthcoming, answering all the questions.
Pretty welcoming, actually.
Yeah, welcome on in. What's going on? Why are you here?
Can I get you a mimosa?
Yeah, she just basically reiterated her original story. Michael got up, left her and the kids in November and 2015, and, you know, he hasn't been seen since. She moved on with her life and her new husband, and she's living her best life. So she didn't even really care if Michael was gone or where he was. As authorities continue their chat with Lori, as they're gathering information, they decide to then make their way outside of the home to the backyard area.
Just to take a peek.
Just a little gander, you know. And at that point, Lori's mood and her demeanor, it did a complete 180. The authorities asked Lori if they could actually bring in cadaver dogs that day to search the property. And Lori was like, oh, hell no. What? Heck no, you can't do that. She became super uncooperative, and then she requested an attorney. Mind mm-hmm. you, they weren't even there to arrest her. They just wanted information. She's like, nope, I'm done. Get out of my house. Get me a lawyer.
Yeah. So with that, the authorities had no choice but to leave, and they began working on obtaining a search warrant for that property, which they get. And they return back to that Sandy Pines home on March 9th, 2018 with the warrant and the cadaver dogs, and the search is on. It didn't take half a second before those cadaver dogs zero in on one specific part of the backyard. The area covered in a concrete slab with those initials of Travis and Lori.
42 pounds of concrete, maybe?
42 bags of concrete. Maybe. Yeah, that whole area. So according to the deputy on site, he stated within that slab of concrete, there was a 3 by 6 foot depression in the slab that was browning in discoloration that resembled a shallow grave.
What?
How creepy Whoa. Is that? So the concrete was dug up so fast, and guess what? They recover a human bone, an arm. An arm of a husband.
I wonder whose arm bone that could be.
Right? So the search continued the following day, and they were able to recover the rest of the remains, all from that one area where they suspected the shallow grave. The remains were partially clothed, and some of them were wrapped in bed sheets. It would take months to positively identify them, but you guys know they were the remains, sadly, of Michael Shaver. Those remains were positively identified on June 18th. Detectives estimate Michael's time of death to be between November 7th and November 10th of 2015.
So all this time, Lori is out here telling everybody that Michael Crazy. Just up and left. They abandoned me. He abandoned our family.
No, girl.
When in reality, he's buried in your backyard all these years.
And you killed him.
What's your explanation, Lori? Yeah. What do you have to say for it?
Yeah. So Michael did not just end up dead and buried underneath the concrete. You know, like he couldn't have done that to himself. The autopsy concluded that Michael had died from a single gunshot wound to the head. These crazy lengths that Lori had went to make sure that Michael was like not found are just unfathomable. And he's in your backyard
the whole time.
And you're chilling at that fire pit.
You got married next to your ex-husband's dead body.
Your guest. Were among your dead husband's
Your children
body.
Stood there while you got married because they were in the wedding over their father's body.
Oh my God, I cannot even. So just so we say it, the detectives obviously confirmed that Michael's text messages and those Facebook messages that he had responded to all of his friends and family obviously were not coming from him. I mean, we know that now. They all came from Lori's home. They all were linked back to her IP address. And you know what's, oh my God, mind blowing. I totally forgot about this part. You guys, she would mail herself postcards as if they were from Michael, like to her children, letting her kids know that like Michael, quote Michael, was okay on this like cross country or world like wide, what was it, trip?
We're not sure where she went because her story keeps changing. Because
there's so many stories. That's insane. So yeah, the kids would get postcards actually from Lori, signed by Michael, being like, hey kids, love you. Things are great here in California.
She's mental.
She is insane.
My question, which I still have not confirmed because I still am on the fence about this, but where does Travis, the new husband, fall like into the case? Like what did he know about Michael's death? Obviously, he didn't have anything to do with it because they got together after Michael was already dead. But he had actually told a federal judge that Lori, at one point during their early stages of, you know, them dating, that, quote, Michael wasn't missing. He was no longer walking this earth, end quote. And
excuse
Travis,
me? Wait, what?
Yeah. And Travis didn't think to tell anybody. Like, that wasn't alarming to him. That would be alarming to me, girl. You tell anybody, me something like that, I'm going to be like,
you're like,
cops.
Where's fiance? I'm like, oh, girl, don't worry about it. He's no longer walking this earth.
Yeah. And then at Lori's bond hearing, another judge asked Travis, what did you think about the body that was found buried in your backyard of your home? He said Lori had in fact told him there was a body buried on their property, but he never found out who it was. She never told him who it was.
A man of God,
yes,
who works at a church.
Didn't ask about the body.
Didn't ask about the body.
Knew it was there.
Didn't call 911.
Didn't do anything. And then he said that he didn't, these are his words, I'm reading this verbatim. He said he didn't ask Lori about it and it was none of his business. Sir,
okay,
there is a body buried in your backyard, and that is none of your business. It is your yard.
Right?
What?
You're about to get married.
It is insane. He has actually not been implicated legally in Michael's death, and no charges have been filed against him, but he knew it was there. Lori told him.
Yeah, that's not right. Sorry to say it, Bestie, but you come to me and telling me that you buried your man in your backyard, I'm going to the cops. Sorry.
We have a good law-abiding citizen over here.
It depends. I think I might ask some questions first. What did he do? What did he not do?
What are the reasons for him being buried under the concrete?
Yes,
Marie?
Seriously.
So Little Miss Lori was finally arrested September 17th, 2020, which is then 2 more years after Michael's body was dug up from the backyard.
Jeez. What is with the Loris burying in their backyard?
I was just thinking about that when we were researching this. I'm like, Lori
And
Gallo?
I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just saying.
Something's going on with the Loris in the world. Watch out, people. She was actually charged with second-degree murder, domestic violence, and accessory after the fact. Mm-hmm. She was then booked into the Lake County Jail without bail. She entered, obviously, a not guilty plea.
Oh, of course.
But in a stunning turn of events, as if this case isn't stunning enough, a judge grants Lori bail in December of 2020.
That's crazy.
Which she posted and she was released because her bail was $50,000.
That's crazy.
Yeah, she was ordered to wear an ankle monitor and have zero contact with Michael's family.
That'll stop her from killing and burying.
Who's next
in
on
her
the chopping
own backyard?
Block for Lori? Due to the ongoing COVID pandemic, as you guys know, her case, along with many others, has been postponed. She's facing life in prison if convicted, which I would assume that she would be. Michael's family is looking forward to the day that justice is served for Michael, and they 100% believe that Lori is the killer, along with countless other people, I'm sure, that know about this case. Police did reveal that Lori was their number one suspect from the beginning, so I'm really hoping that the trial is just swift, we get a guilty verdict,
and we move on.
Lori goes away for life.
So if you guys want to hear Lori's version of events, being out on bail, nobody restricted her from going to YouTube and uploading videos where she states that she had nothing to do with Michael's death, nor how he ended up in her backyard under that concrete slab, under that fire pit where she was married. Okay, Lori. So she uploads videos to YouTube and she's like, I would never cause any harm to the father of my children. And she requests donations via PayPal for all of you guys to help her pay for her freaking legal fees.
We're going to see if we can find. There was one that Raina and I watched the other day. We're going to see if we can find the actual YouTube link and we'll share it.
The balls. The balls. Or if you guys find it, send it to us because there's a lot going on over here behind these microphones.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
What a case.
Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Before this episode is over, I do want to give a personal shout out to Jared. I ran into you at the brewery like a week ago. You told me how much you enjoy the show. You listen every Friday morning on your way to work. We are sorry we have not been here for you.
We'll get back on track, Jared. Okay, we promise.
Yes, consistently on your Fridays. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for downloading and supporting us. We love you. And next time I see you, I will definitely buy you a beer. Wherever you're listening now, you guys, please rate and review us.
We'll wait.
The only way that this show can grow.
And we have some really good new reviews out there from all over. So it's really cool to read them and get messages from you guys. Yes.
But we can never have enough. We need you guys to review. More. And we understand it's not the easiest thing to review. It's like really hard to navigate. I know. We know. But please, if you guys can take, I mean, I'm going to be realistic, 5 minutes to do that, we would appreciate it so much.
We'll be back this Friday on time, on schedule for you guys. Yes. As always, I can't say have a safe weekend because the weekend is already over. So I'm going to go off key here and say have a safe week. And we'll see you all Friday morning. Bye, guys.